And then if going further from an engineering perspective, the way that overall mass transfer coefficient is usually expressed is the inverse of that parameter. In other words, the resistance, which can be viewed as the resistance in series of the blood compartment, the membrane itself, and the dialysate compartment. And the largest resistance of these three is called the controlling resistance. And if you're designing a dialyzer to optimally perform, then you're going to attack the so-called controlling resistance to bring down the overall resistance to mass transfer. And we'll get into all these issues as the talk goes on. So this is just conceptually the idea of resistances in series. You have the overall resistance, and it has the component parts in series, the blood compartment, the membrane, and the dialysate compartment. And typically what is done is the resistance in both the dialysate compartment and the blood compartment, although this is not entirely rigorous, but it's usually viewed as the resistance in these two compartments being entirely focused in the so-called unstirred layers or boundary layers that's providing all the resistance, or can be visualized as providing all the resistance in both of those compartments. And this is a slide from Dr. Ronco that, again, conceptually, as molecular weight increases, and of course, given Fick's law, one can recognize that as molecular weight increases, diffusivity decreases. So diffusion inherently becomes less and less an attractive process as molecular weight increases. But this just shows, over the molecular weight range that we would be interested in, the component resistances. So if you look at a molecule like urea, the major resistance is not, it's about half and half related to the dialysate compartment and the membrane itself, but the majority of the resistance lies in the blood compartment. But you can see that as molecular weight increases, the membrane becomes the controlling phenomenon here. So again, if you're attacking the highest resistance or the controlling resistance for a large molecular weight compound, this is what would be addressed. And then obviously, as molecular weight increases, the influence of the boundary layer phenomenon in the blood and dialysate compartment becomes less and less. Just want to acknowledge Dr. Ronco for his that slide, and also a few others later in the talk. Here he's shown recruiting a couple of junior nephrologists, Dr. Clark and Dr. Maeda. So he's quite a versatile guy, recruiting nephrologists, providing slides. Now you'll see in the literature oftentimes this parameter KOA, and I briefly referred to it before. But the KO is this parameter that we've already talked about, the mass transfer coefficient, or also known as the diffusive permeability. But what you usually see in the literature is this parameter lumped together with the membrane surface area, in other words, the KOA, or the mass transfer coefficient area product. And basically what that, as you can see, the equation relates blood flow rate, dialysate flow rate, and then the clearance. So given a set of operating conditions, i.e. blood flow rate and dialysate flow rate and dialyzer type, then under those conditions and given a certain clearance that's achieved for a molecule, then the KOA will be produced. And essentially, it's the operating efficiency of the dialyzer under those conditions. It used to be thought that this was a constant, but recent data indicate that that's clearly not the case, as we'll discuss. And Dr. Henderson is going to address the issue of convective solute removal in dialysis, but I just have one slide to emphasize that rarely ever in hemodialysis do you have a situation where it's a purely diffusive environment. In other words, you really have a combination of diffusion and convection going on. This slide conceptually indicates what happens when the two processes are combined. And if you look at a small solute like urea, as the ultrafiltration rate goes from zero all the way up to 90 mils per minute, obviously this high an ultrafiltration rate would never be used in pure hemodialysis. This would be more in the realm of hemodiafiltration. But nonetheless, as ultrafiltration rate is increased, you can see actually the diffusive component of clearance shown in yellow declines, and then this purple component, which is related to the ultrafiltration rate or the convective component, adds a small net increase. But what I'd like to focus on is the decline in diffusive clearance. The reason that happens is, as you might imagine, at high ultrafiltration rates, the blood is becoming hemoconcentrated. It reduces, so that's one effect. And secondly, the convective solute removal reduces the concentration gradient across the membrane, and obviously diffusive removal is dependent on the gradient across the membrane. So those processes combine to actually result in a decline in the diffusive component. And you see this phenomenon played out for all the molecules that are looked at, even inulin, a larger molecule. It's just that for a large molecule like inulin, the net effect of convection is much greater because it's a larger molecule, poorly removed by diffusion, much more amenable to convective solute removal. But this will be obviously played out further by Dr. Henderson. And another issue is specifically relating to high flux dialyzers, which, as you know, are becoming more and more commonly used. Under normal operating conditions of high flux dialyzer, there's always a so-called internal filtration circuit in which, because of the high water permeability of the dialyzer, in the prox